time for us now to talk about a pretty cool event, Somewhere in Time. And Gretchen Unico with the Cleveland History Center, Western Reserve Historical Society, is our guest right now to discuss Somewhere in Time. Gretchen, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. Takes place January 27th. Somewhere in Time, celebrating the 1870s satin and suit. So for those that aren't aware of what this theme is, what's it all about?
Well, it is really fun. So satin and soot is our theme. Every year, the Cleveland History Center does an annual fundraising gala, and this is our biggest and most high-end event of the year. So it's really an opportunity to get dressed up and go out and have some fun. So every year we do a theme, and our theme is 1870s, which a lot of people, that might not mean anything to them. You know, when we think of a decade in the 20th century, like the 60s, like we know what that means right away. But a lot of people don't know that the 1870s were a really big year in Cleveland and basically Northeast Ohio history. So that was a huge time when Cleveland was becoming a big industrial city. We had all of these companies being founded doing steel and the different textile industries. So it was a big time in our history, and we really want to go back then and show both the glamorous side, which is the satin, and the more grungy industrial everyday side, which is the soot. So for satin and soot, we're going to do some activities which are interpretations of what was going on in Cleveland back then. We've got a bunch of cool things we're going to do. Well, back in the 1870s, there was a racetrack in Glenville, which was the Glenville Racetrack, and you'd go down there and bet on horses, and we're going to do that with our carousel. We have the Euclid Beach Park Grand Carousel, and you can place bets on the horses, and we'll do races, which is wherever the carousel stops, so that's pretty fun. We're going to do a tavern, the Fleet Avenue Tavern, where you can listen to some polka and dance and see some polka dancers and get a beer, so that'll be pretty fun. That's kind of like the immigrants tavern at that time. We've also got a costume contest, so if you want to dress up really fancy and Victorian, you could possibly win our costume contest. We'll have games of chance, we'll have roulette. So it's a wide variety of activities, and it's really great. Most things are included. All your food is included. We're going to have tastings from local Cleveland restaurants throughout the Crawford part of the museum, and we'll also have full bar and everything like that. So it's a pretty cool event. There are different levels of tickets. The $50 ticket is kind of the base level. You come a little later in the evening, but you get to take advantage of everything there. We have a $100 ticket level and a $150 VIP ticket level where you get to come early and you have a special VIP hour with special performances and things. So a lot of stuff to talk about.
Sure, certainly. Gretchen, I'd like to ask you about the costume contest you guys have going on. What are you looking for? A little bit of everything with a satin and soot theme? You got the workers coming in with the stuff and the bourgeoisie
as
well?
Yeah, so you can... You don't have to be a fancy Millionaire's Row person for the costume contest. If you can put on your best chimney sweep costume, you could win. You know, it's kind of an equal playing field. We've got best satin and best soot are the awards. So if you're the best worker, you know, grungy industrial person, or if you're the best fancy Victorian person, one of the millionaires. So we've got different costume contests that you could win.
Well, there's a lot of things happening at this event, and that's what makes it so fascinating. You talked about the neck-and-neck racing at the Glenville Racetrack. There's also an after-the-race games of chance at the Roadside Club. What kinds of games are we talking about here?
So this is kind of fun. One of those is roulette. Everybody knows how roulette works. But we're also taking out a game that was a gambling game that was actually more popular than poker in the 19th century. It was called Faro, spelled F-A-R-O. And Faro was actually a very popular game in the Old West because it was very easy to play and easy to pick up quickly, where you basically bet on cards and they'll draw cards. And if that's your card, then, you know, you win that bet. So you kind of place different bets on a board. You have to kind of visualize it to understand it, but it's super easy to pick up. If you see it in front of you, you'll learn it right away. And we think that'll be a really fun game for people to all get involved and place bets. And it's a fun group game because you're playing against the banker instead of playing against other players. So it's a cool game, but the reason we don't really play it anymore is because when you're betting against the banker, you don't win. You know, like the bank doesn't win. They want the people to compete against each other. So it became less popular with the rise of casinos in the 20th century, but it was a really popular gambling game in the Old West. So you get to play some faro, you get to play some roulette. And the roadside tavern was actually kind of a real thing at the Glenville Racetrack in the 1870s. After the races, people would go across the street and go to the bar, and they'd kind of drink all the rest of their money away that they didn't lose gambling on horses. So it's kind of an interesting like callback to Cleveland history, but it's like the fun side of Cleveland history, of course. That's kind of what this event is about. The fun side.
We're talking with Gretchen Unico from the Western Reserve Historical Society Cleveland History Center about their Somewhere in Time event coming up on January 27th. I want to give you a chance to explain what some of these characters were. I mean, because I know on here you mentioned you're supposed to dress as your favorite industrial age icon from the 1870s. You guys list ballroom to factory dance or factory floor, fat cat tycoon, Victorian vixen, or steampunk hero. If you could, kind of explain what each one of those characters are exactly.
So those are just kind of fun ideas, but basically we're saying, you know, if you're a tycoon, you can dress like a Rockefeller, put on a fancy suit and a bow tie. If you are the Victorian vixen, you could dress as like a beautiful Victorian lady with a big fancy dress. And if you are a factory floor worker, you know, you'd be dressing pretty sooty, you'd be dressing pretty grungy with just your shirt and your pants, and basically, you wear the same thing every day if you were in that situation in the 1870s. So there's kind of room for creativity. Steampunk is kind of a trendy thing these days where people dress up in Victorian style but with a modern twist. So maybe like modern elements to your dress but still looking kind of vintagey. So we're trying to attract the steampunk crowd. If you don't know what it is, it's kind of hard to explain. But steampunk is basically looking at the past and interpreting it in a modern, new age kind of way. So we really encourage people to be creative. You don't have to be 100% historically accurate necessarily to win the costume contest. It's really your chance to use colors and fabrics and patterns and get really crazy, go all out. But if you aren't into dressing up super fancy, you are welcome to wear cocktail attire. That's also acceptable. You just obviously can't enter the costume contest. So if you want to just wear a nice dress or a nice suit, you're welcome to dress that way as well. We'll still let you in the door. We're not going to turn you away. But it's a fun opportunity to just go wild and crazy with a Victorian costume.
Sure. Gretchen, I love the idea for this theme because, as you've just pointed out, it's got such a wide variety of things you can come into. How do you guys come up with something like this?
Well, we were thinking, so WRHS just celebrated its 150th birthday, and we were thinking, well, what was Cleveland doing 150 years ago or so? So that would have been 1867. So we went ahead to the 1870s and said, what was happening in the 1870s? And it was just such a huge time for Cleveland. And that was when a lot of things were happening in Cleveland that we take for granted nowadays, like professional baseball was starting to become a really big thing. Also things like public libraries. And another kind of funny thing is that with all the industry popping up, there were a lot of fires in Cleveland because a lot of these things weren't regulated. There weren't very good fire codes. And all these businesses were just catching on fire. So we actually are going to have the Western Reserve Fire Museum come and show us some artifacts and talk about what a fire station was like in the 1870s and what their job was at that time, because it's kind of very different than it is today. It's not as standardized. It was really learning a lot about like how to be an effective fire station and improve fire codes and things like that. So there's lots of really interesting things we take for granted nowadays that were so different back then.
I think Matt Douglas is a steampunk hero. I think I classify as more of a fat cat tycoon, but no matter what you dress as, I think you're going to enjoy a lot of what's going on at this event. I saw something, Gretchen, that really stood out to me when I was reading the description of the event. Throwback signature cocktails? Please do tell, because that sounds really fun.
So we're going to try to go back into the old cocktail books and figure out what kind of cocktails people would have been having back then. And really, you know, back in the day, cocktails were mostly alcohol. These were not, you know, fruity daiquiris and stuff. They were alcohol and maybe a little bit of something else. So we haven't totally finalized that menu yet, but we're going to try to you know, research it and get you some interesting vintage 19th century cocktails and see what we can come up with you. But I'll tell you, it will be it'll probably be some very alcohol-based cocktails. You'll be getting your money's worth with your ticket. So the bars are included, though. When you come in, your bar is included with your ticket, especially if you are a VIP. So if you're a VIP, you get to come at 6 o'clock. You get to come early, and we'll have a special performance from a professional opera singer, and we'll have special food that the VIPs get first dibs on, and we'll actually have some speakers talking about things from the time, like women's temperance and top shelf cocktails. We give the best alcohol to our VIPs, of course. So I highly recommend getting yourself a VIP ticket if you can swing that, because that'll be worth getting in there early to see what's going on.
Sure. Well, and that sounds interesting because, look, I mean, you talk about going all the way back to the 1870s, about a throwback signature cocktail. That, if I'm not mistaken, that kind of predates what's considered an old-fashioned, right?
I think so, because a lot of cocktails that we have today were kind of invented during the 20th century, especially during Prohibition, because their alcohol was, like, homemade and very illegal and not really regulated. They had to dull the effects of the really strong, like, bathtub gin with things like fruits and different additives. So that's actually kind of when the cocktail really came into its own, was during Prohibition, at least in the United States. But there were cocktails before that. And really, the first cocktails were actually punches. You know, you go to a party and you have a big punch bowl. So that was really kind of the first cocktail, was punch. But I could go on and on about the history of cocktails, for sure.
One of these days we'll have you on to go on and on and talk about the history of cocktails.
It's very interesting.
Oh, we could do it. We could easily do a three-hour show on the history of cocktails and have all kinds of fun with it. Well, and I guess along those same lines, there's also an Irish pub sing-along portion of this as well?
Oh, yeah. So we're very excited. We've booked a really great local Irish band called the Porter Sharks. They'll play some cool traditional Irish music, because the Irish were one of the first really big European immigrant groups that came to Cleveland. They actually came to dig the Ohio and Erie Canal. So they came out here and they dug the canal, and then they just ended up settling on the Cuyahoga River downtown, where the flats are today, and that was where their communities were. It was actually called Irish Town Bend. So the Irish were definitely here in the 1870s. They were a huge population group, and so we really wanted to pay tribute to that and have an Irish band. So the Porter Sharks are going to be doing some cool traditional Irish tunes, but it's not just going to be ballads. It's going to be upbeat, fun, dancing music, and they're going to do a sing-along for us, and we can have our guests sing some Irish tunes with us. So that'll be a really fun event. The live music is always a good reason to go out and have fun. So we're going to have them, and we're going to have a polka music as well. So lots of, like, fun traditional stuff, but, like, traditional in a cool way, not traditional in, like, a lame your grandpa's kind of way. So it'll be fun.
This has been fascinating to hear you talk about this, Gretchen, because I think we're getting a history lesson as you talk to us about it. I'm just curious, when you start off with the idea you're going to do the satin and soot idea, do you realize how much research you guys are going to have to do going into it? Do you have it in your back pocket, being there at the Historical Society? How's it all come down to this?
Well, we start with the idea. We start with the time period that we want to look at. And really part of it is that we have so many things here in the Western Reserve Historical Society collection that are from the 1870s, which was because it was such an important era in Cleveland history. And we've got a lot of those artifacts just in our possession. So we have a lot of that information in our collection, and it's kind of easy to go and look at it and do that research because it's at our fingertips at a museum. But yeah, there's a lot of research, and just working at a museum, you learn things. You kind of know who the famous people are just from going through it all the time. And so some of it, you know, is prior knowledge, but some of it is research. And the research is fun because you get ideas. Like, we learned about the Glenville racetrack, and we said we should have horse races. That would be really fun because we have a carousel. And we learned about the Augusta Middleburg's French Poise School, which we haven't talked about. That was a real school in Cleveland. And we have somebody who used to be on our staff who's going to come in and do presentations and be Augusta Middleburger and be first person and pretend to be teaching her students, the guests, about Victorian etiquette. So that'll be pretty fun. She'll do a tour of our Hannah Mansion and talk about Victorian etiquette, and there will be fun activities. So we kind of get ideas as we learn about these real people and places that were in Cleveland at the time. So it kind of helps to do the research. It gives you ideas of what you're actually going to do at the event. So it's a fun thing to put together, for sure.
Somewhere in Time takes place Saturday, January 27th at the Cleveland History Center of the Western Reserve Historical Society. The Millionaire's Row VIP starts at 6. Everything else begins at 7, runs through 11 o'clock. Gretchen, before we cut you loose, where can our listeners go to get more information on the event?
Well, you can go to wrhs.org/events, and you can buy your tickets online, actually. If you'd like to reserve your tickets on the phone, you can call 216-721-5722, extension 1003. And you can also email tickets at wrhs.org. Any one of those ways you want to do, you can contact us. We'll be happy to get you some tickets. But easiest way is just to go to wrhs.org/events, and you can buy your tickets online there.
Well, Gretchen, we enjoy having you on as always. This was a lot of fun, and it sounds like this event is going to be an absolute blast for all those that attend. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you guys can come to one some year.
I know, it'll be nice. So this one especially, we're pretty excited about this one. I'm anxious to see what Douglas does for his steampunk hero.
Oh, concert. I got ideas.
You got ideas?
I got ideas.
All right, well.
You got some ideas.
We'll hold him to that. Gretchen, thank you again.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Gretchen Unico joining us from the Western Reserve Historical Society. Boys, that sound awesome.
It does. It's all about the top hat when you're going steampunk. That's how I feel. You got to have the goggles and the top hat. That's how you get it done.
Goggles, huh?
Yeah.
Fake?
Yeah. Goggles are important when it comes to the steampunk look. Well, I guess. How can you have fake goggles? I mean, they're not prescription, if you're asking that.
You just said, how can you have fake goggles?
Well, yeah, and you have fake eyes. I mean, if you can put them on and still see, haven't they?
Well, so is it possible to have them on and still see?
Sure, I hope so. I would think so.
Fair enough.
Well, but yeah, I think the steampunk look, it's always got those goggles. Google it. You'll see a steampunk. You know what steampunk is, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Well,
maybe, but you've seen enough of those Comic-Con things, right?
After a few of those throwback signature cocktails.
That's true.
It might not matter what lens you're looking through.
Good point.
Depending on what kind of night you're having.